Kia ora team, and welcome to the latest All Things PE podcast. Sit back and enjoy these short and sharp discussions around physical education with people who hold the subject close to their hearts. Hi there team, Lockie here, and welcome to another episode of the All Things PE podcast. Today I have the honour of speaking with Lynn Heffley about what literacy in PE might look and sound like. Now, for those of you who have been searching literacy, you may have found Lynn on Twitter at Lynn Heffley. Lynn, I'll forward over to you to give a short introduction about who you are, where you're from, and what your current role is.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on your show. And just a little bit about me. I grew up in Massachusetts in the United States, and I went to Springfield College, which is where basketball was invented. And I did my undergraduate and my master's there in physical education and biomechanics. And then I married into New York and spent 30 years teaching at the Huntington Union Free School District in physical education, mostly at the primary level, but a little bit at the high school and middle school levels. I retired from teaching in 2019 and moved to North Carolina. So I am presently living on the beach with my husband, and my mom moved in with us, and my dog Buckets, and my two sons live in New York. So that's what I'm doing presently. And other than playing on the beach, I am also doing a lot of YouTube work, and I am the president of Literature Enhanced Physical Education.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll fire on to the first question, and it's a question that I like to ask educator guests is, what is it that made you want to be a teacher? Where did it all begin?
I remember very clearly in first grade, my physical education teacher, Miss Mixture was her name, and I remember climbing the monkey bar. And they weren't even monkey bars, the swing set bars. That's my earliest memory of school. And I just loved everything that was sport, competitive, or physically active. And I was very good at it. So when I was thinking of what to do for a living growing up, it just made sense that in order to continue doing what I loved, that you would become a physical education teacher. There weren't too many other options for girls growing up. So, you know, I played every sport. I played ice hockey, baseball, gymnastics, softball, track and field, basketball, volleyball, springboard diving. If it was a sport, I loved it and I competed. Now, I think the funny thing is that a lot of us go into sport, into physical education because we love sport, and quickly find out that teaching isn't really about playing sport, and it's so much more. So I think as I became an educator, then I became to be, want to become a teacher. I think it's kind of reversed. I didn't want to become a teacher. I just wanted to keep playing. And then you become, realize what teaching is. And then I just love teaching.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? And I guess the question is, you know, you've said that you liked, you know, all the sports and that. So, but how were you actually in school in regards to the sort of in the classroom? Did you have an interest in school, and did you use your love for PE to help you get you through the actual the classroom sort of scene, or was it a bit of a love-hate relationship sort of thing?
No, I loved school. I loved everything about it. I graduated second in my class in high school. I just adored learning, you know. I adored the social aspect, everything about it. Loved my teachers, loved students, just loved being in school.
In your eyes, what might literacy in PE look and sound like? And where might a PE specialist start if they were interested in implementing it more into their teaching and learning?
Well, let me tell you about my journey into literacy. You know, as a young teacher, pretty much right out of college, after a year or two, I was thrown into a kindergarten center. So I was teaching 185-year-olds. And I was so overwhelmed. It was like herding cats. And the way that, but I had my own 5 and 3 year old at home at the time. And so I would go home and listen to them, you know, watching Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles and Jurassic Park and Dalmatians. And so then I would go to school and teach, and I would use their pop culture to make stories and lessons. And that's when I first found that children were motivated by their imagination. So one day, when Harry Potter came out, I sat down with the one page in the story where it teaches Harry how to play Quidditch. And I read that story to my five-year-olds. And then I proceeded to set up an activity where they were throwing golden snitches to balloons that were floating, helium balloons that were floating in the air. So that was the beginning. That was the first time I ever read something and connected it to learning for my students. And I was amazed at how mesmerized the children were. And then so when I finally moved back to the older students, K to 4 at the time, I'll never forget, I had a group of children walking into the school building with me, and I heard them talking, and one of them said to the other, they said, Johnny, what's your favorite book? And the other child said, well, my favorite book is yada, yada, yada. And then they went back and forth. And then one of the children said, well, Mrs. Heffley, what is your favorite story? And before I could answer, the other child replied, she's a gym teacher. She doesn't read. Well, let me tell you, right? Like my jaw dropped and I was hurt, you know, because I told you, I love reading. I love education. I love the whole child. And I think that we were doing children a disservice by not letting them see our well-roundedness. So I thought about it and I started to think about how we could take, instead of taking our content and pushing it into a book that was already out there, wouldn't it be better if we took our content and wrote a story around it? So I would write my units. I began writing units and breaking down the lesson plans, and then writing fictional stories to introduce that unit where the storyline followed the skills that I wanted and knowledge that I wanted the children to learn. And so Literature Enhanced Physical Education was born. Starting in 2009, I started my own company, and I have 9 teacher resources that include the lesson plans and rubrics and whatnot, and 8 children's books. So they cover things like serial soccer, where a group of mice use their soccer skills to bring back cereal that's been dumped on the kitchen floor. Bugs and Bubbles teaches about a bunch of bugs that use their volleying skills. Bugs, Flowers, and Berries is a sequel that teaches racket skills. We have Hamburger Hockey that teaches hockey skills, and Swish that's about basketball. PE Under the Sea for underhand rolling skills and yoga. Zinni's Driving School teaches spatial awareness and locomotor skills. And Widget's Batting Lesson is about striking with a bat off a tee. So that was that, you know, I found that we could teach, motivate, not just motivate, but also educate with literacy. And our schools want us to use literacy, but the right way is to teach our own content.
Yeah.
So since, that's what, that just what I believe.
It's great. Yeah. I was having a look at your website and the books that you've described, and it's really great how obviously you've connected that content to the stories and the skills and that, which is really fantastic. It's amazing.
Thanks. So then what I, since retirement and even later on, just before I retired, I switched to video. I was lucky enough to have a smart board in my gymnasium, and my students and I would create videos. We had our own YouTube channel called Southdown PE, and we created brain bites, not brain bites, physical snacks for our classrooms. But then when I started using a platform called Animaker and was able to start creating what I call brain bites. And these are just small bits of information that focus around academic vocabulary. And so these brain bites teach the academic vocabulary or a skill that we, a concept that needs to be learned in physical education. And it puts it into video format. And there is written as well as spoken video. So if you wanted your students to just read them on their own, you would just turn off the audio. And if you wanted the students to listen and read, you could turn the audio on. But so far, I have things covered, health-related concepts of fitness, skill-related fitness, things like spatial awareness, fit principle, overload principles, how to make SMART goals. So I've tried to cover the standards that we have in the United States for all the cognitive knowledge that children need in the early grades. So that's been my passion at present.
And those brain bites that you've just talked about, would they be something that you teachers could use, say, for the maybe English second language learners?
Yes, they could definitely be used for that. And all of the brain bites for health-related fitness and skill-related fitness are also available in Spanish. Yeah, I don't know what your population is where you are, but here in the United States, we have a large Hispanic population. So I tried to make sure that we had them in both languages.
That's fantastic. And now, linking back to that in regards to, you know, the literacy, how does it fit in with the non-participants of PE? Do you think that it's a strong learning point for those who actually can't? You might have a child that's injured and things like that. How does that work with the non-participants?
I'll tell you, I think that's what I've started working on now, is to create ebooks that students that are unable to participate can read while they're sitting out. So right now on my YouTube channel, I have three or four of them, and therefore they focus on, for us, Women's History Month was in March, Black History Month was in February, and then we had the Final Four basketball tournament. And so I have created ebooks that talk about great athletes, and they're kind of teaching history of the sport through through athletes. So my goal is to not only just have history of in ebooks, but also to have how-to books. So let's say I was teaching pickleball. Do you play pickleball over there?
No, not as a we sort of touch base on it in lessons, but it's not a huge thing, no.
So it's becoming more and more popular here, and it's so I was thinking, like, for a sport, I would create an ebook that had an introductory that would have the history of the sport, followed by the equipment of the sport, and then you would move through it and learn the rules of the game and then the strategies of the game. And so it would be a comprehensive book, maybe even with some interactive assessments for students that are unprepared or unable to participate in phys ed. And also right now, they're great for virtual learning. I think that we're going to have a segment of the population that doesn't return to in-person learning. We're going to have a society that eventually chooses whether or not they want to be homeschooling or in-person learning. Right. So I think there's going to be a great need for that kind of written virtual learning in our field.
It's quite interesting that you've just said about the pickleball, actually, and the history in that. We've just come off I teach an international school in PYP, and we've just come off a traditional games unit where we go and we talk about games that are traditionally from, you know, like Lape from Samoa, cricket from England, and things like that. So that type of book where the students can read about the actual history and where it was come from, and how it can be linked to the wider community is that would actually be very powerful, wouldn't it? It's a great idea.
I think it's also, if we talk about flipped learning, you know, where students you can access the book online at home as homework and then come in and have the actual face-to-face learning be more of a laboratory that to apply what they've already learned. It could be very powerful like that.
It's fantastic. Really, really cool. I look forward to following that along and seeing how they turn out.
The one other thing I wanted to mention, if you're just starting out, just making your teaching space, your gymnasium or whatever you have, very visually engaging with literature. And one of the sites, openphys.org, I don't know if you've heard of it or been to it, but each of the units, you know, it's free, totally free to sign up and download anything that you want from it. And they have a lot of academic vocabulary cards where you could create a word wall. They have a lot of written materials for assessments, posters, and whatnot. So it's a great site to get free literacy from.
Yeah, that's, again, another powerful sort of way that students can learn as well. When we've, you know, we try in our arenas to have, you know, that I've created the word wall where maybe for the older students, they've got, you know, generic sort of vocabulary that's always used in physical education. And then for the younger kids, we've got blank templates where if we come up with a word or if they share a word, they can write that on them themselves. So they're actually, you know, putting in the work, which I think it's quite strong in regards to them being engaged and taking a little bit more ownership in their learning and being proud of their ideas that are up on the wall. So that Open for Z is a great site for any teacher to go and get some ideas and or download resources. That's a great recommendation.
You might also want to check out on my website. I have a teacher resources, and one of the teacher resources is bulletin boards. And I think bulletin boards are great and word walls are great, but like you said, if they're not going to engage the child, then they're pretty much just there so that your administrators think you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You have to, right? You need to make them engaging. And there's one that you should check out. It's called the PE password. And students have to actually lift up something on the bulletin board and look underneath and see what's in there. You know, it brings them in. And then they would write down the answer to the question and put it in a jar, and we would pick out a winner at the end of the week kind of thing. And it was in our cafeteria, so it wasn't in the gymnasium. Try to engage students in physical education in different parts of the building. So I would have bulletin boards in the hallways and bulletin boards in the cafeteria. And, you know, like definitely trying to engage in academic vocabulary outside of your teaching setting.
What's the best way for listeners to be able to follow and connect with you, Lynn?
Okay, so on Twitter, I go by HPE with Hef, and it's at Lynn Hefley. My website is lepeinc.com, which stands for Literature Enhanced Physical Education Incorporated. My YouTube channel is Lynn Hefley. I have a teacherpayteachers.com store, and that is under Literature Enhanced Physical Education. And you can also always email me at lepeinc@gmail.com.
Fantastic. And I'll have all those details in the link form in the podcast profile as well. So you can just click on those links that Lynn's just spoken about. Lynn, thank you so much for your time. It is very, very much appreciated and very much needed, because I think it's really important that you know, we get that literacy word out there in physical education, because like you say and like you know it's not just about being able to bounce a ball around, it's about understanding who we are and how the world works around us. So thank you so much for taking that time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Lucky.
Thanks for listening, team. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to be a guest, please feel free to message me on Twitter at all_thingspe.